This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath. On the first Sabbath of 2021, we are starting a new journey, a journey that I hope we will all be encouraged by and on. Come, Jesus, come. That's the title of our sermon series, the one that we are launching today. And I've decided for this topic because I believe during these times, pretty difficult times, challenging times, we have encountered people that were asking us about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The question is, can we answer those questions? The title of the first sermon, the one that is loading right now, is Just About Time. Just About Time. Do you understand what that means? What the expression "is just about time" means? It's interesting how a language can have nuances when it comes to an expression. This specific expression, "it's about time," can have different nuances in the English language because it depends on how you use the verb after this expression. If you say, "it's just about time," and then you use the verb in the infinitive form, it has a meaning. If you use the verb in a past tense form, it has a slightly different meaning. For instance, if somebody comes to me and tells me, "Hey Joe, it's just about time for you to wake up," what does that mean? Well, it means that for now, no more sleep, no more snoozing, no more slumber, no more siesta, because it's just about time for me to wake up, to get up, to go and do something. But if your mom comes to you and tells you, hey son, it's just about time you woke up," what does that mean? Well, there's a different nuance to that, because that means you are already running late. It doesn't mean that you are just fine handling your time well and now your sleep is over and you're good to go. No. It means that it's been a long time since your date, since your time is due, and you are still sleeping. Yes, it's just about time you woke up and did something, because if you continue like this, things will not go well for you. It's just about time. It's just about time for you and me. It's just time, just about time we woke up. Time is out. It's been for a while now. Woke up, wake up, for what? In the Bible, in the Gospel of Isaiah, and I'm using that gospel concept because many people call the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament the Gospel of the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah, the book that we are studying during Sabbath school as well, chapter 21, verses 11 and 12 have a very interesting prophetic word. This is what it says. The burden or the prophecy against Dumas. He calls to me out of seer. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning comes and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, return, come back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a very interesting and cryptic prophetic word. And we pray that through the Holy Spirit, you will explain it to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a question for you. In this prophetic word, very cryptic, very short and potent, what do you think you are? Are you the watchman or are you the inquirer? Watchman or inquirer? Watchman, inquirer, or both? You may ask, okay, but who's Duma? Because this prophecy or this burden, this oracle is against or about Duma. Who's Duma? Well, Duma is another name for Adam. Adam, meaning Esau, right? The same man had two names. And from Adam come the Adamites. And that part where in the Mount of Seir, the Adamites used to live, is also called Idumea. And Idumea was shortened to Duma. It's obvious that the context is the Mount Seir area where the Adamites used to live. And what is this about? The Adamites were descendants of Esau, brother of Jacob. But what's very interesting about their story is that when Jerusalem, the city, was destroyed by the Babylonians, when the Babylonians came and conquered the city, the Adamites rejoiced over the bad experience of Jerusalem. They cheered for the enemy of God's people. And there's one of the Psalms, Psalm 137, verse 7, that talks very interestingly about this episode, 137, verse 7. This is what it says. People, God's people, in their song, in their prayer, ask the Lord, remember, O Lord, against the son of Adam, the day of Jerusalem, who said, this is what the Adamites said, raise it to its very foundation. So in this context, you may understand better what this oracle is all about. You just imagine this scenario in which somebody, the prophet in our case, is up on the city wall. He's the watchman. And from Seir, somebody shouts out to him. Somebody cries out and asks, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Somebody among the enemies of God's people, because among the enemies of God's people, there are people that want to belong to God. It's always been like that. Somebody from the enemies of God's people cries out to the watchman, asks him, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? I believe this picture captures pretty accurately the situation today before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because just as in those times, a watchman was needed for those that were oppressed by the enemy to tell them about the coming of the morning, because the watchman answers and says, morning comes, but night also. Similarly, these days, people among the enemies of God's people, people among the enemies of God cry out. People among atheists, people among Buddhists, people among Hindus, people among Muslims, people among corrupt Christians. They cry out to the watchman. And they ask, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? See? The watchman has a specific identity. And the watchman that was placed by God on the wall of the city to see should be aware of this identity. I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that Seventh-day Adventists from the very beginning took this prophetic call as being their own call. From the book of Revelation chapter 10, verse 11, they took this prophetic call when God spoke to John and told him, you must prophesy again about many people, nations, tongues, and kings. Seventh-day Adventists from the very beginning said, yes, this is us. We feel that we have been called by God to go and prophesy again. Now when things seem to be messed up and we are puzzled and we are confused, we were waiting for Jesus to come back. He did not come. But when you look around, you can see the signs happening. Things really are lining up. It's us. We must prophesy again about many people, people's nations, tongues, and kings. And this identity, the knowledge, the awareness of this identity should give you, the watchman, the watchwoman, the sense of responsibility. Identity. You have the identity of the watchman. The watchman has an insight that is not available to other people. The watchman can see things that other people cannot see. And I ask you, who are you? What are you in this scenario? Are you the watchman or the inquirer? Let me be very fair and very open to you, my brothers and sisters. It seems to me that when the pandemic hit in 2020, most of those who should have been watchmen suddenly shifted into inquirer mode. We all started asking around, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on? Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? But we almost felt as if we are crying out and nobody is answering. Why? Because actually we should have been those that should have answered. And we were asking the question and waiting for somebody else to answer. As if there was another people that was the people of the book and they should have given us the answer, when in fact it was us. Because it's the responsibility of the watchman to see and say what he or she sees. And if you go to the same chapter, verse 6, chapter 21, Isaiah chapter 21, verse 6, it describes the responsibility of the watchman. For thus has the Lord said to me, go set a watchman. Okay, for what? This is for what? Let him declare what he sees. Sees where? Because obviously this picture of the watchman on the walls is a beautiful historic scenario in which you have the city walls, and on the city wall you have the man that can see further and deeper than anybody else. And then somebody from Seir shouts to him and says, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? It's the responsibility of the watchman to be on the lookout. How are you? How am I on the lookout? So that I can see, and then I can say what I see. The inquirer normally, and please notice this, normally the inquirer should be sleeping. The reason the watchman is in the tower, the reason the watchman is on the wall, is that during the night, they want to have an eye open. When everybody else is sleeping, somebody should be on the walls to see. Normally, the inquirer should be sleeping. But in this scenario, the inquirer is not sleeping. The inquirer cannot sleep, actually. And when is the time when a normal, common person cannot sleep? Go, for instance, to Psalm 130. I cannot read the whole psalm. But Psalm 130 is a psalm of distress. When somebody cries out to God from a very difficult place, from a very difficult situation. And in that Psalm 130, verse 6, this is what that person, that inquirer says. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Notice the repetition, please. It's emphatic. It stresses the point. It emphasizes that I cannot sleep. If somebody is waiting for the morning, that's the watchman. Because by definition is the role or the responsibility of the watchman to be out on the tower, be out on the wall, and from there look out, see what's going on. See what the state of the night is. That's the responsibility of the watchman. Or if somebody is waiting for the morning, well, I can tell you the watchman is waiting for the morning. I did not do military service, but I learned about that from other people that did military service. And I had the chance to do watching or guard during the night in camps. And we did 3-hour shifts. And man, during the night, even 3 hours is a lot. Staying on the wall for a whole night is even worse. If somebody is waiting for the morning, then yes, the watchman is waiting for the morning. But the psalm says, I'm waiting for the morning more than the watchman is waiting for the morning. More than the watchman is waiting for the morning. Why? Because it's so bad. It's so difficult. It's so hard. And I believe 2020 was such a year, and to some extent 2021 will be such a year, where people could not sleep, and they would be crying out, and they would be shouting to the watchman, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? I'm thinking about an illustration that you may know from some evangelistic campaigns. You know, when the great evangelist speaks about the Sabbath and how some other people are watching or are observing now Sunday instead of Sabbath. They used to use this illustration with the Tsar of Russia. Tsar of Russia one day was watching through the window, and he noticed in his garden, in the palace garden, a sentinel, a guard, standing guard. And he said, okay, so what is this guy doing there? And day after day, he saw the same thing. So he said, okay, let me go and see what's going on with him. So he went to the guard and asked him, soldier, what are you doing here? And he answered, I'm standing guard. All right, but what are you guarding? Sir, I don't know. I'm following command. I'm following orders. So the Tsar was intrigued, and he said, okay, I have to find out what this is about. So he went to the captain of the guards and asked him, hey, what is that guard guarding there? And the captain said, well, I don't know, but we are surely following orders, because there's an order that says that somebody should be guarding in that place 24/7. And now the king became angry. And he gave orders to the captain of the guards to go and inquire, go and research. And then he found out in the archives that there was a ruler of Russia, Catherine the Great, and a dignitary came and paid a state visit to her. And as a gesture, as a token of friendship and appreciation, that dignitary brought her a beautiful rose bush to be planted in the palace garden. Now, the problem is, it's been more than 100 years that both Catherine and the bush were gone, but the guard was still standing there guarding. It seems to me, brothers and sisters, that many of the watchmen today are guarding fictional, imaginary rose bushes instead of talking about the state of the night and the coming of the morning. And the question is, how are we going to be able to speak back to the inquirer if we ourselves are confused and don't understand what is going on, right? Let me just give you two examples, one from 2020 and one from 2021. In 2020, the United States had a long presidential campaign, and a lot of watchmen were watching rose bushes, either on the Republican side or on the Democratic side, instead of talking from the tower, from the walks, from the walls, from God's side. And that's a problem. Let me speak about 2021. Now the vaccine is out, or vaccines are out. And what I'm seeing is that a lot of watchmen now have started talking about the gospel of the vaccine. And all you can see all over the place is the vaccine. Is this vaccine good? Is this vaccine bad? And I'm not saying that we should not talk about current realities. That's not what I'm saying. The problem is, what I'm seeing is, we take the Bible and we want to make sense of current realities the other way around. We look at current realities and then we look at the Bible and we want to understand what the Bible says based on what we see. When in fact we should take the Bible and then look at current realities and understand current realities in the light of the Bible. Does that make sense? And that's the difference between a watchman and an inquirer. A watchman sees further and deeper than anybody else. And that's why we have to go back to the Word. That's why we have organized this project of reading the Bible throughout 2021 together as a church family and answer those questions, because we want to go back to the Bible. There's no way for you to be a watchman unless you go back to the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. This is what it says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The watchman has an identity. The watchman has insight. The watchman has to be intentional about what he or she is doing. Intentional. There's a story about the great scientist Albert Einstein. He was traveling by train, and the ticket inspector came and asked for his ticket. And the scientist started checking all his pockets and couldn't find his ticket. So the collector, the ticket collector, told him, "Sir, don't worry. I'm impressed to see that you are traveling on my train. So don't worry about it. I know who you are. I don't need your ticket." And he went on. But then before leaving that compartment, he just threw a look back to where the scientist was sitting, and he couldn't see him. So he stepped back to see what's going on with him. And he found the scientist under the benches in the dust trying to find his ticket. And he tapped him on the shoulder and he told him, "Sir, don't worry about it. I told you I'm fine. I don't need your ticket." And he said, "Well, the thing is, I'm not looking for my ticket because you need it. I'm looking for my ticket because I need it. I need to know where I get off this train. I need to know where my destination is." And in a way, I think this pandemic and all the other things that have come with it are asking for our ticket and then tapping us on the shoulder, asking us what is going on with us. I believe it's time for us, it's just about time we woke up and we become intentional about what we are supposed to be doing. And the intentionality is in the message of the watchman. The watchman has two pieces in the message. One is, morning comes, but night also. And that's pretty puzzling. How can morning and night come? Well, in reality, if you look at the Bible, if you look in your prophetic word, you will see that the gospel is a good news about the morning coming and night also. Because for those that are oppressed by the enemies of God, by the enemies of God's people, for those that are crying out to the watchman, "Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?" For them, morning is coming. But you know, there are several places in the books of the prophets where it says the day of the Lord will be not light, but darkness. Because at the same time, the gospel has a component that sounds weird, because it's not about light, it's about darkness. It's about the fact that those that oppress God's people, those that are enemies of God, they will be called out and they have to answer for what they have been doing. So the morning is coming, but night is coming also. If somebody only preaches about the night, that is no gospel. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you are following watchmen, that all they can speak about is negative, All they can speak about is darkness, is the night. That's no gospel. At the same time, if a watchman only speaks about the morning, that's false gospel. If somebody is watching or following a watchman that only speaks about the positive, the good things, yeah, everything, Jesus loves you, everything is beautiful, wonderful, all right, we are going to heaven, let's pray, let's clap our hands, and that's all. That's false gospel. The gospel has two components. It is mourning for the oppressed, for those that are suffering because of the enemies of God and God's people. But night is also coming because God is just and He does justice in the end. The second component of the message is a very, very weird and cryptic message. If you will inquire, inquire, return, come back. What is that? To make it simple, it's something to the effect of, hey, if you're interested, feel free to come again. Come back again. This is a humbling reality of the watchman. Because that means the watchman doesn't have it all in one piece. Please listen to this. I know there are people, there are watchmen out there, very vocal, with a lot of following, that have those huge charts. And man, they know everything about everything. They can tell you exactly the order. They can tell you piece by piece everything. And not the things that are happening, even the things that are going to happen in the future. I have doubts about those watchmen. And please ask yourself the right question when you see those watchmen answering your inquiry. Because an honest watchman will tell you, hey, listen, this is what I see, this is what I can tell you now. If you want to inquire, inquire. Return, come back. Meaning, yes, I have to be honest and tell you the truth. I don't have it all figured out. And as Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm telling you these things in advance, so that when you are going to see them happen, then what? You will believe. Now, that's the role of the watchman. That's your role, and that's my role. When we look around and see things happening, we can go to the Bible. It's not bringing stuff, putting them in the Bible, and then read them out from the Bible. That's been going on for too long. And we have reached to the level here in the United States when people are able to read out from the Bible specific names of specific presidents. And that's not normal. The Bible is not about that. When we go to the Bible, we have to have the honesty of the watchman. And the watchman says, yes, I can see the morning. Morning comes. But night comes also. Let's be fair. Let's say the truth. At the same time, if you want to know more, return, come back. Feel free to inquire again. Because as we go in history, we will discover deeper and deeper things. The watchman sees, and what he sees, he says. Say what you see. Don't say what you believe, what you think, what, yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe this, maybe, no. Leave the speculations. Don't become a speculation and theorist. You know what kind of theories we have all over the place right now? Was that? Oh, conspiracy. What is conspiracy? And we talk about conspiracy as if it was something, you know, something happening behind the scenes, but we know it. So how is that conspiracy? Yes, there is conspiracy. And what we have about it is the Bible, the prophetic word. So watchmen, let's go back to the Bible. Let's reset our prophetic time. You know, there is a National Watch and Clock Museum in Columbia, Pennsylvania. I don't know if anybody heard about that. I was happy when I discovered that. And that's a very interesting museum of horology. Horology is the science and art of timekeeping and timekeepers. And they have a very interesting history of timekeeping from the time where you had non-mechanical devices like sundial or the watchman on the walls, and then through mechanical devices up to the atomic devices and electronic and the things that everybody has today on the phone and on the wrist. Very interesting history. They have like 12,000 pieces, out of which 3,000 are displayed. So you can see 3,000 clocks and watches. But the story says that a visitor, a curious visitor, went there, and after she watched all the clocks and all those time machines, she was impressed, and she asked the guide, "Ma'am, how do you keep all these watches and clocks aligned?" And the guide said, "You know, there's this watch, this clock here, central. This is a very precise clock. It never runs early, never runs late. It shows the perfect time." But then she said, "Okay, but this is still a device made by man, right? And everything that is made by man can be ruined at one point, can go wrong. What if even that clock goes wrong?" So then the guide said, "You know, there is a clock that never goes wrong. And that's God's clock. You have the heavenly bodies, you have the stars, you have the planets. And if everything goes wrong, you can still measure time by God's time." When it comes to prophetic time and where we are at, and when the morning is coming, when Jesus is coming back, and when darkness is also coming, when justice is being served, we have God's clock. It's the Bible. And we have to go back to it. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Jesus said, "I'm telling you these things, so that when they are happening, you will have faith." It's time for us to have faith. And it's just about time we woke up and be the watchman. You are the watchman. Put your first name and then as a family name, Watchman, Joe Watchman, huh? Eddie Watchman. How does that sound? Daniel Watchman. Yeah. Let that sink in. Okay. Make it your family name. I mean, the Watchman family. How does that sound? Okay. And because this church family here is probably going to be looking in a name pretty soon. How about Watchman Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church? Watchman SDA Church in Plantation City, I want to say. Okay, I mean, put that Watchman somehow in there. And if you are still at the level of an inquirer, that's okay. Because that's how you start. You inquire first. And then you can answer to the inquirer. So just let's wake up. Because it's just about time we woke up. And let Jesus Christ shine through us and show the morning. Because when you go to the watchman, what the watchman sees from afar, the light shines back from his face to you. Arise, shine. Because your light is coming. Amen.
I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Strong, just the same. face to face. Come and lay it all down. Cause that might be today. The time is right now, and there's no need to wait. Oh, your past will be washed by rivers of grace. Hallelujah. Come, Jesus, come.
Yes, dear Jesus, thank you so much for the coming of the morning. We are looking for it. We are longing for it. We cry out for it. Lord, we pray that you will shine through us and make us the watchmen you want us to be. So when the inquirers shout in the middle of the night, or when morning is breaking, Lord, we want to bring what we see from you. We want to say what we see. May your Spirit take possession of each one of us and use us as your watchman. In Jesus' name we prayed, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.